Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. And today is, November 9th, 2018, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday to everybody out there.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, man. I mean, other than the smell of smoke, because we're, again, suffering from those forest fires up in Butte County and down in L.A. Other than that, you know, hey, things are good.
Yeah. And I know you don't care.
That's true.
I watched a wonderful playoff soccer game for the MLS last night. My Portland Timbers beat the Seattle team. Sounders.
Is that the Sounders?
The Sounders, yes. In extra, well, actually in PKs. But
wow, in PKs.
Yeah.
So what does that even mean?
Penalty kicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't care.
My wife can't even watch those. She says, she gets too nervous.
She gets nervous or you get too nervous?
No, she does.
Oh.
She can't watch it.
So she's a big MLS fan?
No. She deals with me.
So. Oh, well, hey, a lot of us do.
Yeah. Curry's injured.
Oh, God. Again?
Again.
Oh, man. It's okay. You know what? But it's November. He'll be back in like January, mid-January, end of January. They'll have lost like 10 games, and then they'll lose like two more the rest of the season.
And Nicole's happy because the Steelers.
Oh, man. Did they wipe the floor with the Panthers last night? I didn't see a single play, but apparently it wasn't even close.
Yeah. Big Steeler fan she is.
Yeah, no. I'm on to CYO youth girls basketball. I'm coaching my daughter's fifth grade team. We're amazing.
Good.
We don't even know how to dribble up the court yet by ourselves, but we're going to be good.
Let me tell you. What else is amazing?
What's that?
The WASDE report that came out yesterday.
You know, that was some surprises in there, wasn't it?
Let's talk about it. And then you also went to a conference here in San Francisco.
I did.
The ABLC Next Bio Conference. So why don't you give people at the end a little update on that? But let's start with the WASDE.
Okay. Flip coin right now.
Sugar.
Okay. Sugar it is.
What did they do to sugar?
Well, you know, it's not that sweet. That was a bad pun. Right, you know, what really the bottom line is, I think they're finally recognizing that demand is not as strong as it was forecasted to be. And they got to be a little bit conscientious of that because they lowered the production of beet sugar tremendously. I mean, we're going to be the first crop under 5 million tons since I can remember. And so I think most people thought, well, boy, as a reaction, USDA will most likely increase imports to offset that lower domestic production.
Sure.
But I think they're being a little conservative here because they're a little worried about the demand numbers. So I don't anticipate them jumping in with both feet, as they say, and raising up Mexico's imports or TRQ imports until sometime after the first of the year. Maybe the January WASDE will see a little bit of a change, but probably the biggest changes will be after April. If we're going to need any additional imports.
Okay, and that could happen. And again, December is an important one too, because that's when they start taking a look at the Mexican imports and make any additional adjustments there.
Yeah, that's right.
So next month should be interesting. And, you know, they're targeting 13.5 stocks use ratio. Yep. We're at 11.3 now. So, boy, we're below their target. So they're going to be doing some movements here in the next month or so.
Well, I would propose that they're going to be conservative, though. I don't think we want to anticipate that they're going to jump Mexican imports up tremendously next month. They might. They might surprise us. But I think they want to be very cautious again because they already started the lowering of the deliveries number 1 month into the crop. And so, you know, if they have any more worry about where those deliveries are going, they better be a little bit conscientious of not over playing the imports. So I say they slow play this.
All right. So from a market standpoint, any impact or are users mostly booked for this next crop year and no impact?
Well, I think you and I would both agree that the majority of the sugar is probably under contract for next year. So I don't know that it had a major influence on any decisions that were made or being made at this point. I think a lot of people were being told, watch out, domestic beet crop is going to be lower.
Yep.
And it got validated. Yep. So anybody that made the decisions in the last 2 weeks probably got their decision validated by going ahead and booking.
Yep. And we've seen some, obviously, the beet industry getting well covered.
Yep.
You see these lower numbers here, and boy, that would just result in any strengthening in pricing for the beet side. So
be curious over the next few months if USDA does do anything on imports, if that'll impact the number 16 anymore. I mean, we're already at prices that are below kind of where I think that the threshold for what normally you would see for the price of what they'd pay for sugar to come in here from Mexico. So does that mean we have any further softening there? Probably not. Not a whole lot, but you never know. I don't want to say never.
Never say never.
Oh, my God.
You never don't, say always. No,
yep. Always and never. Two words you shouldn't have in your vocabulary, Michael.
Yeah, that's what you tell your son, I'm sure. Yeah. Don't do this.
That's don't. Right. Hey, do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah, there you go. Holy corn yield. Let's shift over to...
You almost sounded like the 60s Batman.
Yeah, holy series. Corn yield. What did they do to corn?
You know, I think they were trying to validate the reason why corn prices hadn't fallen precipitously during harvest pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of this is the same story with the beet sugar crop going down as the corn yield. I think you got excessive amounts of rain in certain areas in the upper Midwest. And as a result, they said, geez, either the farmer's not going to pull it out of the ground or whatever it is, it's not as good as what they had hoped. The last 20, 30 days of the corn crop didn't come in as they had anticipated. So you went from what would be a record over 180 bushel to a still record.
Still
178.9 or call it 179 bushel an acre. So we're still talking about a record yield.
Yeah. Still a good yield, so nothing to be too concerned about. Anything else on the corn side that they did that is noteworthy?
Nothing really stood out, Mike. I'd say that the export number, you know, 2.45 billion bushels, you know, you're on anticipation. Is that going to be further decline over the next portion of the crop year due to the trade dispute? I think everybody's kind of anticipating really to see what happens with South America's crop and how they might become price competitive once they start their harvest in the spring, and then what kind of acreage base we'll end up with the spring. I think actually the market has kind of already turned on this crop, and they're already looking in anticipatory for next springs and what kind of acreage base. And I think most people are going to put between 2 and 4 million acres of additional corn in their estimates.
My next question.
Yeah. See, I'm anticipating you now, man. I'm telling you, I'm like just Steph Curry out there shooting deep threes.
Well, do you think I'm going to ask you about these adjustments to the Chinese corn supply next?
You know, you might. What would be your big takeaway with that?
Well, I think, I don't know, I was a little shocked as far as going back that far to adjust.
10 years?
But I guess I think the market would respond to that as a wait and see, not to react too significantly right now.
Yeah.
And always good information is needed. But adjusting things like that, I don't know, it's a little shocked. But.
Well, I think it goes along with some of the Chinese government's overall 10-year plans. They have these 10-year plans. It seems like when they make their adjustment for their next 10-year, they finally start announcing what the previous 10 years were because the reporting agency finally publishes something. I don't know if it's purposeful or not, but certainly you really can't go back to 2007-08 and really anticipate what that might mean today's time. How much of that corn's really even relevant anymore? I mean, did they already, you know, get rid of it? Is it not spoiled and fermented already? So who knows exactly what all this means? Tells me that the Chinese government just has a way of manipulating what they want to publish.
So, all right. Anything else on the corn side?
You know, I think commercially, as far as coverage goes, I think you've got some people that took advantage of the downside on corn earlier on in the end of the last crop year, if you will, in the month of September. And I think post that, most people have got some comfort on their coverage to this point moving forward on corn. And then on corn sweeteners, I think we've got the majority of that market covered. I think there's still some outliers on
there
the flat
are some
price.
Outliers, but definitely some good progress on contracting for next
year. Did you notice something different this year on corn sweetener negotiations? I saw a lot of the liquid products getting booked early on, and now the dry products like the corn starches and the maltodextrins and the corn syrup solids have kind of hit. This is when I've seen more of that.
For sure.
Would you agree with that?
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
That was an interesting take for me this year because I hadn't thought they were looking at splitting those out like that. Yeah. That's the way it seemed to go.
Always something new every year.
So. That's the variety. Only constant is change, Mike.
Change and variety.
Yeah.
So you were in San Francisco the last 2 days.
I was at the
ABLC Next Bio Conference. And for those that didn't attend, maybe tell them a little bit about that conference and anything that might be impactful to on the sweetener side, specifically corn.
Yeah. Well, I think for anybody that is interested in what goes on with the global warming situation, this is the types of conferences that you would be interested in. The Department of Energy and a lot of universities, along with a ton of new age biofuel and bio economy type of companies are attending this. And so this is a discussion about how can we further the globe's work on trying to repair Mother Earth and stop putting greenhouse emissions into the atmosphere and stop using fossil coal out of the ground. So reduce your carbon footprint. One of the main goals of this conference was to explain how we are as a society going to get back to what we're trying to do, which is let the Earth warm at less than 1.5 degrees per year over the next 30 to 40 years and gain in carbon efficiencies. I would let everybody know that some of the companies that attend this would be your major fuel companies, Chevron, okay. BP, POET. And also your major ethanol and biogas producers are there. And some of these new age guys like LanzaTech, BioAmber, Amaris. These are the kind of companies that show up. It was a fascinating event. If anybody's really curious about the takeaways of some of the things that are going on, like biomethane and how they're using digesters at the dairies to bring in food waste to do the same process and how that actually is impacting our environment, I'd love to chat with you. As far as it impacts the corn wet milling side, they are finding that utilizing a corn derivative, whether it's a starch or just the carbohydrate of corn and its offtake, and particularly 95 dextrose, it seems to be a feedstock that these companies are interested in. Mm. And so the more that these guys come out with commercialization, the more it could impact what's available as far as grind to produce other corn products, because they're going to produce products for these companies.
Got it. Great. Great recap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we should let people go and enjoy their weekend.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Veterans Day to everybody. Thank you for all of you that have served this country.
Absolutely.
We appreciate everything that you've done for us.
Absolutely. Well, and those who have Monday off, enjoy it.
Yeah.
And enjoy the weekend with your family. And as I always say,
have an attitude
of gratitude.
All right, man. Everybody have a great weekend.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.